scripture is 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 11, 20, 24 through 28. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Hannah was deep in thought, in anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven, give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. Now I'm going to read 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 5, and 8 through 10. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli had gone to bed, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. The Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy, so he said to Samuel, Go and lie down, and if someone calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, Speak, your servant is listening. And the last part of the scripture is 1 Peter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another.
Good morning. My name is Alice, and I'm a United Methodist woman. But that's not where I want my message to start this morning. I want to talk about people who answer God's call. Ordinary people, just like you, just like me. I'm a very ordinary person. And so when I was thinking about what Bible verses, like Lori said, this mother and son seem like ordinary people, when you think about Bible people, yes, their name is in the Bible, but Hannah was just a mother, wasn't yet a mother, was just a woman who wanted a baby. She wanted a baby desperately. And so she cries out to God, and as they've already said, she gets her son, and she keeps her promise. She made this kind of wild promise, I think. I'll give up my son if you'll give me a son. And so Bible scholars think that maybe Samuel was about 3 or 4 when she took him to Eli and said, Here, I give him to you. I'm giving him to God, and you get to raise him. You know, Samuel fit right in to the temple experience. He was very obedient to Eli and just thrived in this atmosphere. And as Barbara read, callings or visions were not very common at that time, but Samuel hears the voice of God. God talks to him just like I'm talking to you right here. And again, Bible scholars think that Samuel was about maybe 11 years old when God called him. And God didn't just say, someday I'm going to use you, Samuel. He gave him serious work from that moment on. And as we know, one of the things, Samuel was a priest. He was a judge. He was a prophet. And some of the things that he did that God asked him to do, he anointed Saul. And in between that, God asked him to do a very difficult thing. And then in time, he anointed David. Now, Samuel was never in the headlines. Samuel was very quiet. Those two kings, they were the headline drawers. There was so much drama in their life that Samuel was kind of in the background. If you read both books of Samuel, you notice Samuel is a very small part of it. And once Hannah is also a very small part of it because you don't hear much about her after she turns Samuel over to Eli at the temple. But one thing about Samuel, his entire life, he was always obedient to God. He always did what God asked him to do. Always. Even though he wasn't in the limelight. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. My mother was not exactly like Hannah. I was the last child, not the first child. But when I was 3 months old, my mother took me and entered me into the cradle row of the Boyd's Creek Baptist Church. Yes, I was born a Baptist. And I think if my mother had gone up to that preacher there and said, okay, I brought Alice and I'm turning her over to God, that preacher would have fainted dead away. Nobody lived in the church at that time. So I always loved to go to church. I still do, as a matter of fact. And in time, we moved to a different community where there was a bigger church. And again, it's a Baptist. That's what I am. And you know that Baptist churches, at least at that time, always had an altar call. And when I was 12 years old, I answered that altar call. And in time, I was baptized. And you know, they didn't have an affirmation of support from the congregations at that time. Whether they do now, I don't know, in a Baptist church. But I do remember two pillars of the congregation, two sweet pillars of the church, who said, she's too young. She doesn't know what she's doing. And you know, they were right, partly. I had no idea when I was 12 years old all the ways that God would call me, the places that he would take me, or the way he would use me. And I don't like headlines. I'm not somebody called by God that likes to be in the headlines. I guess I'm like Samuel that way. This is hard talking about myself today. If you ever want to talk about yourself, come up and see how hard it is. I don't like to talk about myself. But anyway, I think that I have been so many different places and so many different ways. God didn't start using me when I was 12 years old, just like he did Samuel. And I can have to tell you that I was never quite as obedient as Samuel. In several years in my life, I have said, no, God, not me, not yet, not me. But here I am, 65 years later, after I made that commitment. Now I'm learning to answer God's call. And those two pillars of the church, I hope they're somewhere in heaven laughing and saying, she sure showed us. Okay, it is United Methodist Women's Sunday, so I want to talk about one specific calling that I had. 15 years ago, when I retired, I became a full-time United Methodist woman. How did God call me? He used women from the time I joined this church until that time to mentor me. And unfortunately, most of those mentors are gone now. But their legacy lives on. United Methodist Women is 152 years old. It's not always been known as United Methodist Women. And don't ask me to tell you the names that it was before, because it has changed as churches merged or other denominations joined. So it didn't become United Methodist Women until probably since I retired, in the 70s, I think. It is the largest denominational faith organization in the world. We are 800,000 members strong. and units exist all around the globe. How do we get started? You've probably heard this story before because most United Methodist women tell this story at some point. It started with 8 women in Boston in 1869. Anyway, they got together. They wanted to send 2 missionaries to India. And if you think about the time that they lived, not all the women, very few of the women worked outside the home. So to raise enough money to send 2 women to India as missionaries took a lot of their time. They did it. They were successful. And most United Methodist women, and probably some of you, if you keep up with Methodist news, they sent a teacher. They sent a doctor. The teacher started a college. The doctor started a hospital for women. They still exist in Ludhiana, India. Now, our unit has always been supportive of missionaries. In 1977, the very first United Methodist Women's meeting I attended after we had newly joined the church, that's the year Cecil and I joined the church, I went to a United Methodist Women's meeting to hear a missionary speak from Africa. I don't remember her name. I can see her face. But what country she was from eludes me at this point in my life. But as I say, this unit has always been supportive. When I became the full-time United Methodist member, we already were supporting and had a covenant missionary, Helen Shepherd. She served in China and Mongolia, and we learned a lot about Mongolia at that time. When she retired and came back to the States, we had adopted another missionary, Finda Kwiwa, from Sierra Leone, West Africa. Anybody here heard of Sierra Leone? Ellen, raise your hand. We met with Finda when we were over there. Okay, what's our unit like today? There have been many changes, even without COVID, United Methodist Women is not static. But we do keep our core values, we keep our core beliefs, we keep our purpose and our mission focus. And if you remember the litany from just a few minutes ago, our focus is on women, children, and youth. But how we accomplish our mission these days has changed. But let me tell you a little bit about our members now. We have circles, which are just smaller segments of our unit. And since I've been in this church, since 1977, those names of the circles have changed. The women certainly have changed. They've died or moved or whatever. We've almost always had an evening circle and a day circle. And don't ask me to tell you the names of all those circles because they come and go. Right now, we have 3 circles. The name, Circle of Love. That's for our women who have moved on to nursing homes or they're homebound, but not really active as far as coming into the church building. We have the Night Owls. That's our evening group. We have the Ruth Circle, that's our day circle. And I can tell you that either one of these circles, we would welcome anybody here that would like to come. Now, the Night Owls are trying new ways to offer ministry and mission. And Ruth Circle is kind of forced into it too with the things that have been happening. I want to emphasize again it was in the litany, if you remember. In my history, we've always worked together with our men, women, our children, our youth. Because it's my personal belief, and I hope it's yours too, that it takes all of us to make our missions happen. Now, if Kevin, you're out there. I don't see George today. But they are full-fledged United Methodist women because as pastors, they are automatically a member of United Methodist Women. Now, what effect did COVID have on the way we do business? Well, it was a game changer. It sure changed how we do things. It slowed us down, but it didn't stop us, did it, women? Men, everybody that helped us. Our policy is, if the church is officially open, we meet. And we did. A lot of things we've been doing at home and still are, even though we're officially open. And we realize that we cannot do all the things that we've always done. Some of that is age, and some of that is COVID. And I have to tell you, when we came in the beginning, even with my faith, I was afraid. And I would pray fervently that we weren't making a super spreader. And when I realized we should pray fervently all the time for all our missions and for all our work, instead of just me saying, oh God, don't let this be a super spreader. But he answered my prayer like he did Hannah's so far. Now, how to find new ways to be in ministry. It's been something we thought a lot about. Before I talk about the new ways, I want to talk about a special ministry that's pretty specific to this unit. I don't know of other units that do this specifically, and that's our funeral dinners. You can call them courtesy dinners. I call them funeral dinners. We serve meals to people who have had a funeral in their family. And during COVID, it didn't stop us, but we did it differently. Until October 20th, I believe it was, we served Berta Day's family down in the RCLC. That's the first time we've served in the RCLC since COVID started. And I want to remind you of something or share something with you. In 1977, that first meeting I went to and heard that missionary talk, Verda was there. And if God had talked to me that day, like he talked to Samuel, and said, Alice, in 44 years, you're going to help serve Verda's funeral dinner. It would have taken me about 3 seconds to say, God, that's not my gift. And it's not my gift. It is our women's gift to serve the families who are going through grief. Now, we are mindful of our promise to expand our concepts of mission. We say that every month, once or twice a month. Well, how in the world do you do that during a pandemic? We feel like we're barely hanging on some days, or I did. And I want to tell you about two that all of you were involved in, two special ministries. One was the Night Owls had the idea and took charge, made the goodie bags for the teachers at the elementary school, Ellen. Now, I want to tell you, we want to expand that further next year, so stay tuned. We hope that it grows. And another one that we had not done exactly this way was have a baby shower for Shiloh Center. Well, there's nobody having babies in our church just now, so that was fun for me. That was a fun way to be in mission. And we plan to do that again next year. Have a shower. Now, another expansion, or another way to have an expansion, I usually stand up here and honor some people. Well, the way we're going to do this this year, we're going to expand it. We want to recognize all the people, or most of the people, that have answered God's call during the pandemic and kept this church going. And basically, when I honor these people, just think that I'm looking at the people who worked in the church. I know there are a lot of things we do outside these doors, but today I want to just think about the people that kept us going during this pandemic. Now, Charlotte's going to come up and join me. And for the first time ever, I'm going to work without a script when I call these names. So all the people that we call their name, they have multiple jobs that they do in the church. And I may not mention all of them because we may not have time for all that. But just remember, they have faithfully answered God's call. Not all of them are here today, but we will see that they get their certificate or whatever it is in due time. And the first people I'm going to recognize, we're giving what we call special recognitions. They get a certificate and a pin. People we think that have worked extra hard in doing mission for the church. And the first one I want to recognize is Larry Bechtel. We're recognizing because of all the work that he did for United Methodist Women, but he should be recognized for all the work that he's done in this church. If that RCLC would get him this award, if nothing else did. But he's also been humbly on his knees putting the flooring down in the rooms back here that some of you never go to. You should go look. All right, Larry, come on down, Larry. He also leads our church board, which that's a headache in itself during a pandemic. And he's also had the idea for trunk or treat. But like I say, he is one of our new honorary women. Congratulations. Just give it to him. Now we'll let you sit down till we get all these names called, then I'll have everybody stand up again. The second name to get a special recognition is Tammy Shelton. Hi, Tammy. I know you're home watching. We want to honor her for all the work that she has done with our youth. That alone deserves this recognition. But also, she has many other jobs besides being Kevin's support group. Just look around this beautiful sanctuary. She does that. All these people do many things that we don't see. But Tammy, we want to honor you because of your work with our youth, who we think are so important, especially to United Methodist Women. Our next honorees are given Mission Minute certificates. And there's a value put on how much United Methodist Women donate per minute, and I think it's written in here, Charlotte, and if you multiply this by how many minutes in a year, this is what this means. $20.23 a minute is what United Methodist Women think these certificates are worth. And the first one goes to Jane Porter. She's not here today unless I'm missing. But she is our representative to the thrift store. She loves our rummage sales. She has been an officer on our executive board of United Methodist Women. And she is just a faithful United Methodist woman. So certainly deserves the Mission Minute. Our next one, a Mission Minute certificate, goes to Barbara Yeager. And Barbara, I don't know if you're hooked up at Foxwood Springs yet, I hope so. But Barbara has been a very faithful member of United Methodist Women. She's one that's still alive, that was my mentor all these years. But she's moved on to another phase of her life, but always serving United Methodist Women when she was here. Now I want to move on to music ministry. And unfortunately, Carolyn Randall is my first name, and she's not here this morning, and she's in the hospital. Not everybody knows that she's in the hospital. Oh, I skipped two. We'll go back. But first, I want to do the music ministry. With Carolyn, it's on the music in the music. She's on the care team. She does a prayer chapel. She does study groups. She is just invaluable to this church. So we will get this to Carolyn as soon as she is well enough. Another one I want to recognize in the music department is Kathy Eckert. All her years of service and during pandemic, she has not faltered to be here with her faithful service. Let's give Kathy a hand. Now we'll step, I forgot to on my list order, and that's why I have Charlotte to keep me straight here. She's my right hand today and always. Kevin, if you're out there, hi, Kevin. We want to honor you. Kevin has led us through this pandemic, as always. You've got to have a leader. He has been faithful. He has not faltered. And if you were a pastor, you would realize the stress and everything that goes with it just on top of the pandemic. So thank you, Kevin. We honor you. Our next honoree is Jen Vogt. She's in our office. And Kevin, I think you're nodding your head when I say that Jen has been a godsend to this church. You know, her title might be one thing, but I would call her Jen the Godsend. She keeps this place running smoothly. So we honor her and recognize her for being faithful during the pandemic. Now, praise and worship team. We've got lots of music in this church. First of all, I want to recognize Kip Matthew. And one thing he told us when we started back with our choir practice, he's been with us 20 years. And you're well aware of all the faithful service he does, how he helps the women with things like this, how he helps the church. So, Kip, we honor you for all your faithful service. Somebody else that's not faltered during this pandemic or before, Ellen Lake. The woman of many talents, but we appreciate her work that she does with music. Thank you, Ellen. And then, on that praise team, whatever the health of all these people, they're here. Sam Crust, very faithfully serving with our music. Voice problems aside, he's been here serving during this pandemic. Thank you, Sam. Ushers and greeters. We kind of broke this up into teams so we could get this out right. First of all, I want to honor Amy Cottrell. She's standing at the door with all these people coming in that could have given her COVID. She helps with communion. She just is a blessing to this church for her work that she does. Thank you, Amy. Now, we Methodists believe that children can serve. So we want to call Leah Lake up here. We know what Leah does. She assists the pastor. She assists Amy. She assists anybody that will let her help. She helps her mother with night owls. Thank you, Leah. And last but not least on the ushers, Cecil Law. He's there at the door wearing his mask so he doesn't give you COVID or you don't give him COVID. He does many other things in the church, but this is one of the things that we honored him for. He also is one of those men that's been down on his knees working on the floor, getting humble with God, working on these floors. Hospitality team. Ann Hammonds. She has been very faithful all during the pandemic and before. And one of the added duties that she's had because of pandemic was in here scrubbing the pews every Sunday. So we go beyond the call of duty when you serve on the hospitality team. Now I want to recognize Effie and Don Crispin together. Don may not necessarily be an official member of the hospitality team, but he helps his wife and Ann in all the things that he does to help United Methodist women and other people in this church. And he's also been one of the men that have been down on his knees putting down the flooring. And Effie, our faithful Effie, if I have a right hand, I have a left hand or a left foot or a right foot, Effie so faithfully serves women as well as hospitality. Teamwork. Something that a church doesn't need to be without: children's sermons. Lori Bruins does beautiful children's sermons, among the many other things that she does for this church, studies and all kinds of things she does. But we want to honor you for all your work with the children. Children are important to her too. Now we want to honor Shannon Pollard for her children's sermons too. She's not here, but we will see that she gets notified that we have honored her for her work with the children. And of course, that's not all she does either. She's on our church board, among other things. Shannon Pollard, if you're listening today, we honor you. Child care, children's sermons, Sunday school, and youth. We want to honor Cadence Cornelius for being in our nursery. We will see that she gets the card. Valerie Hawkins for the children's. She has many other talents too, and is also a United Methodist woman. She also serves as the Secretary of Church Board. She has many, many talents, but we honor you for your work with our children. Now, there are other people that work with our youth, help with our youth, besides Tammy, and we wanted to honor Chris Feast. Is Chris back there? Chris Feast. He's also in training to be an honorary woman, too, because he drives the van for us. He helps with our auction. He helps wherever we need him. This is a different honor. He's right here. He's got his pen. But we honor him again this year for the work he's done during the pandemic. Thank you. Now, wait a minute. Now, we've had a child. I think we ought to honor our youth as well. And we have a youth that's been very instrumental with planning meetings with the youth team. He helps his mother with night owls, their activities that they do. And he's kind of Chris's right-hand person at times with youth. So, Isaac Lake, we honor you. Thank you. Thank you, Isaac. All right. There's one more person on my list that Charlotte didn't know about. Oh, wait a minute. There's lots of people on my list that Charlotte didn't know about. United Methodist men. I don't think Gordon's here, but the vice president's here. We want to thank the United Methodist men for all the help that they give us and for all the mission work that they do. So, Chuck, would you come forward and accept on behalf of all the United Methodist men? Thank you. Remember, I'm a very ordinary God's helper here, so I missed some things on my list. Now, there's another team we want to recognize, the tech team. If we didn't have them, were in big trouble. And you may not see them all the time, but when they're not there, then we're missing out. So we want to recognize both Les Lake and Robert Cottrell for their work as our tech team. Also, both willing to do anything that United Methodist women need, whether it's pandemic or otherwise. So we appreciate them and all they do to help us. Now, I've already honored some of the security team, but there are some others that are on the security team. And I forgot to say Chris is on the security team too. But Kathy Bechtel and Brian Harms are on the security team. Kathy Bechtel is multi-talented, as well as Brian Harms is multi-talented. But would you come up and be recognized for all you do? Maybe you didn't know we had a security team. And there's one person in this church that I don't see here this morning, that we could not stand up here and honor people without honoring George Moore. Need I tell you the love that he spends and spreads throughout this congregation? So, George, we honor you. We'll make sure that he gets his card. Another person that I want to recognize, because I certainly appreciate her ministry, and it is a ministry. During the pandemic, when the church was open and she was able to come, Nancy Wolf prays for all of us before service. She prays for us a lot of times, but specifically, we want to honor her for praying for us in this church before our services. That's all right, you earned it. Thank you, Nancy. Now, I want to honor another group, but I'm just going to call one person up for that group. And that's the prayer shawl ministry, the crochet group. So I'm going to ask Jeanette to come up and accept on behalf of the crochet group. But I would like all that group to stand. If you're here and you participate in that, stand while Jeanette accepts it. Very faithful. If they had to make prayer shawls at home during the pandemic, they did. It never stopped. All right, now we get to my last, that Sharla doesn't have the card. I have the card. You might have wondered why I didn't recognize Sharla for being in the music, being she helps out with hospitality. She subs for Valerie. She is the vice president of United Methodist Women. And like I say, I would call her God's right hand, if not my right hand. She's always there helping. She has not faltered before or during the pandemic. So, Sharla.
Well, Alice didn't know, but I have a card for her, too. I want to thank Alice for heading up the UMW and keeping us going through the pandemic and through opening of the church. She has just been a godsend to all of us, and we so appreciate her. And keeping our Sunday school open, whether it was online or in person, so we thank you so much for that, too.
All right, I would like all the names that we have honored, if you're here, please stand up. Just the honorees first. Now, you know what? If you're here, that means that you were faithful too with your presence. So now I would ask us all to stand and be honored because you're here. Those at home, I hope you're standing up with us. You have been faithful by attending online.